Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Five more days before Succession, the TV series, returns for season four, already getting rave reviews. And the RTÉ business journalist Adam Maguire has taken inspiration from Logan Roy and his family for our discussion today. Succession and family feuds in real life business. Adam, succession, it's a thorny issue for these family firms.
Yeah, it happens a lot. It comes up time and again through history in every part of the world. And I suppose it's to be expected because oftentimes you're dealing with a lot of money, power as well. And then you throw the family dynamic and on top of that, of course, is going to be problems arising.
Explosive.
And it can come from any number of angles. You know, you might have the patriarch or the matriarch who's built up a company over decades and isn't willing to step aside, but they've children or a child who feels like it's their time and their time to shine, and they have ideas for the business and what to do next. Or maybe the parent does want to hand over the reins, but you have siblings squabbling over who gets the top job, who gets what portion of the business. So it can be very, very messy. It can go messy very quickly.
So luckily for us, the writers of Succession had plenty of real world examples to help inspire them, didn't they?
Yeah, no, they say that Logan Roy and co were based on a mixture of different real families. But I think the most obvious example of inspiration came from Rupert Murdoch and his family. And those who feel that, you know, four seasons of wrangling over succession of a business is dragging it out a little bit. The wrangling over News Corp and Fox News has probably been going on for decades, at least two decades, if not more. And it's not really still 100% settled yet. Rupert Murdoch has six children, but generally believe that three of them are in line for the succession. Elizabeth, Lachlan and James Murdoch, each of them at different times have been in the front seat in terms of who is going to succeed Rupert. Lachlan was lined up about 20 years ago to be the new Rupert Murdoch, but he abruptly quit the family business in 2005 to set up his own private investment firm. That left James then as the front runner, but he was damaged, his reputation was damaged by the phone hacking scandal in the US a couple of years after that. Lachlan then returns to the business in 2014, and now he's regained his frontrunner status. Allegedly, though, he was close to walking away again. Apparently, he came to blows at Rupert Murdoch, the New York Times claimed, over his decision to sell 21st Century Fox to Disney. Meanwhile, Lachlan and James are believed to have quite a bad relationship over editorial direction. James wants to push the business to a more centred kind of rather than right viewpoint politically. Mm-hmm. Lachlan wanted to keep it towards the right. James also took issue with the sceptical tone they often took over climate change. And it all came to a head in 2020. James has left News Corp and walked away over editorial issues and disagreements he had.
Well, maybe Rupert's new fiance will have something to say about this and she'll be able to sort it all out.
Well, that's part of what makes it messy as well, that you've children from you know, multiple partners, and multiple partners probably all staking some part of a claim in the business.
He's 92, Rupert, isn't he?
92, yeah. And as I say, I mean, so more than 20 years where people thought surely he's going to retire any day now, but that hasn't happened yet.
Or stop getting married. Often these disputes then can become very public.
Yeah, now in fairness to the Murdochs, by and large, they've actually kept a lot of their infighting behind closed doors, barred little bits of it that have leaked out. But often what happens is the dispute goes legal and then it has to be argued in front of the world, essentially. We saw that here in Ireland when a row broke out with the family that owns the retail brand Kilkenny, Kilkenny Group. In 2016, Greg O'Gorman was sacked from the firm by his mother, Marion, after he started legal proceedings claiming that his mother had breached an agreement to hold the company in trust for him and his siblings, which would have given him a 25% stake in the business. In the end, the High Court was told the dispute was settled to everyone's satisfaction, an agreement drawn up to allow for orderly succession planning at the company. But there are plenty of other cases where a resolution is much harder to find. Jay Pritzker, who is a successful Chicago businessman, he owned the Hyatt chain of hotels, amongst many other things. I think about $15 billion in net worth.
Nice.
Didn't do too bad for himself. He thought he had avoided all of these problems. He set out a very clear succession plan. One of his sons took over the control of the business in the mid-90s. But quite quickly, other members of the family took issue with their lot. There were claims that some of the $1 billion trust funds had been raided by other members of the family. It ended up in the courts for about a decade. Essentially, the family split into two factions. And in the end, they divvied up the assets of the business just so they could carry on and take their money and leave.
So $900 million wasn't cutting it for some of them. They wanted the full billion.
They wanted the full billion. Yeah, nice round number. Yeah, yeah. And that issue of trust funds comes up time and again. And it can get really nasty as well. There's a case in Australia involving Gina Reinhardt. She heads up a huge mining company there. Her children took her to court over a $5 billion family trust. They wanted to take control of it from Gina. She didn't think they deserved it. And in the court documents, it came up that Gina said her three oldest children were slackers who lacked the capacity, skill or work ethic to manage the trust. She said it was probably best to keep the money from them to force them to go to work and reconsider their holidaying lifestyles and attitudes. So, you know, there's that famous quote from The Godfather, it's not personal, it's strictly business, but when family is involved, it's always a little bit personal, at least. Sorry, yeah. That case, very, very personal.
Always personal. Now, the rows you've described are in the main between the parents and the children when it comes to inheritance. It's not always like that, though.
No,
is it?
No. Another recurring theme are siblings. Often they go into business together and then they have a falling out down the line. Aldi is a good example of that. The chain we know here, it's actually one of two Aldis that exists in the world. It was founded by brothers Carl and Theo Albrecht in the 1940s. They fell out over whether or not to sell cigarettes in the shop. With Theo wanted to, Carl didn't. It wasn't a health issue though. It was Carl thought that it would attract shoplifters, so that's why he didn't want to sell cigarettes. They split the business over this issue in the 1960s, but it was actually relatively amicable. They remained on good terms. The business was split in two in a way that it doesn't really compete. One doesn't compete with the other. So in Germany, it's split between the north of the country and the south of the country. And when one expands internationally, the other tends to steer clear. So if you've ever been in France or Portugal or Spain and you've seen an Aldi, you'll probably notice the logo is different. They're part of what's called Aldi Nord or North, whereas the ones we have here in Ireland and we see in the UK as well, they're part of Aldi Sud or South, so they're the southern part of the business.
And that works, and it's peaceful now,
Yeah, very peaceful, and I said the brothers were on good terms up to their death, yeah.
Okay, and that kind of sibling split up, that's happened in Germany a few times.
Yeah, lots of stories actually interesting from Germany. Another one, good one is Adolf Dassler, or Adi as he was known, and his younger brother Rudolf. They set up a shoe factory in the 1920s, did quite well for themselves, called Gedda. Jesse Owens actually wore some of their shoes when he won gold in the 1936 Olympics. But their relationship soured during World War II. Apparently part of the issue was that the wives didn't get on, Friedel and Kathy. They were forced to live in close quarters during the war. As a story that Adi and Kathy once climbed into a bomb shelter where Rudolf and Friedel already were in. Adi said something along the lines of, the bastards are back again. He was referring to the Allies who were dropping bombs. Rudolf thought he was talking about them. Rudolf also blamed he also blamed his brother for being called up to the army and for being imprisoned by American troops on suspicion of being a member of the SS. He thought that Adi had fed them that information. So a lot of paranoia and suspicion there. So in the end, they went their separate ways, setting up their own rival shoe companies. Adi established Adidas from the name Adi Dassler. Rudolf did something similar. He set up Ruda, but in the end, he changed his mind and rebranded as Puma. So Adidas and Puma, two brothers.
Lived happily ever after separately.
Yes.
But the feuds can run for generations.
Yeah, and they can get even messier as you go on. Another good example from Germany is Porsche and Volkswagen. Ferdinand Porsche was the man behind a lot of well-known cars, the likes of the Volkswagen Beetle. Ultimately, he divided his fortune between his two children, Ferry Porsche and Louise Piëch. And they were quite competitive in their own right, but that then continued into their own children as well, particularly Ferry's son Wolfgang and Louise's son Ferdinand. Now, the business structure of Volkswagen and Porsche and the ownership between the two, it's really, really complicated. But in short, Ferdinand Piëch eventually ended up as head of Volkswagen. Wolfgang Porsche was head of the Porsche business. Wolfgang didn't like what Ferdinand was doing, and he quietly started trying to buy up VW stock in order to take over in a hostile takeover, even though Porsche was a much smaller business than VW. He had to go public with his bid. He then started triggering other takeovers, which cost more and more money. And he ends up building up a debt of around 10 billion euro trying to acquire these shares. The idea was, though, that he would be able to repay all that when he got his hands on Volkswagen's cash. He would then be able to repay all that debt. But of course, he didn't. He failed in his hostile takeover. In the end, Ferdinand managed to launch his own takeover bid of Porsche, and they took over the business. Wolfgang still is bitter about this. He claims Ferdinand sabotaged his move to take over the company and threw a wrench in the works. And apparently part of the issue is Ferdinand wasn't keen on having Wolfgang as his boss, so that's why he did the counterbid and took over. In a documentary, Wolfgang said, "You can't choose your relatives," and he claimed Ferdinand had destroyed his life's work by walking away from VW and selling his shares to his brother Hans. So clearly that's a business where it's going to take a few more generations
to sort out. Settled. I think there's a lesson in all of this, isn't there, Adam, for the rest of us mere mortals?
Yeah,
I'm not sure what it is.
Just do, go your own way and sell the business when you retire.
Leave the family out of it and don't give any of the children anything.
Yeah.
Probably if you're Rupert Murdoch or Gina.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, they don't deserve it, obviously.